And there was a huge decision today from the Supreme Court on abortion. In a 5-3 decision, the court struck down a Texas law and reversed a lower court ruling. The law required health clinics that performed abortions have surgical facilities, and doctors who perform the abortions have admitting privileges at a nearby hospital. Since both of those requirements were very hard to do, many clinics in Texas closed, and it became very difficult for women in parts of Texas to get any health care and to get abortions. NPR senior Washington editor and correspondent Ron Elving has been looking at all of today's decisions, this on the last day of this year's session. Hi, Ron.
Good to be with you, Robin.
And start with the Texas ruling. You know, tell us more about how the court voted, what the justices said.
It was a 5-3 decision, with Justice Stephen Breyer writing the majority opinion and invoking the spirit and the letter of a 1992 decision by the court in a case called Planned Parenthood versus Casey, which was a landmark case, perhaps the most important case after Roe versus Wade in 1973, legalized abortion nationwide. This is maybe the third in that line, because what the justices said today was that these laws that have been passed in recent years, specifically targeting abortion providers with a lot of restrictions that don't apply to anyone else who provides health care outside of a hospital, are really just undue burdens on the right to an abortion, deliberate obstacles in the path of an abortion. And those terms are significant because they were in that 1992 decision.
And what was the dissent?
The dissent came from three justices, of course, the Chief John Roberts, also Clarence Thomas, and Samuel Alito. Interestingly, though, Clarence Thomas was the one who really said that these parts of this Texas law that required surgical procedure facilities in any clinic that was going to provide abortions, or that required doctors providing abortions to have admitting privileges at a nearby hospital, were okay, were just perfectly fine. The other two dissenting justices, Roberts and Alito, said, look, maybe we should send this back down to Texas and see if there's any evidence that the decrease in the number of clinics providing abortions from 40 down to 20 had to do with the passage of these restrictions, or whether there were some other explanation. They were basically buying some time, perhaps to get back to a time when they might have 9 justices on the court.
Well, but they don't right now, an 8-member court. What kind of effect will this ruling have across the country? I mean, how many other states have laws like Texas had?
These restrictions, TRAP, they're sometimes called Targeted Restrictions on Abortion Providers, or TRAP laws, started out in the Midwest and in Texas. In 2000, there were 11 states with them. By 2014, we had 23 states with them. They have been very popular in legislatures that are heavily Republican in the South and in the Midwestern states. And those states now are going to have to show why their particular TRAP laws are different from Texas's, and because most all of them are modeled on the same sort of idea of requiring surgical facilities and admitting privileges, it would appear logical that they will not withstand a challenge in those other states either, given these Supreme Court guidelines.
Okay. The court had two other decisions. They ruled on the federal corruption conviction of former Virginia Governor Robert McDonnell, throwing out that conviction. That means he won't have to serve the 2 years of prison time he was sentenced to. But what else does it mean about corruption convictions and public figures?
First off, it vacates the sentence of 2 years for former Governor McDonnell. It is possible the prosecutors will take the new guidelines from this Supreme Court decision and say they're going to take another swing at it. I don't know that we would anticipate that, but it is at least possible. It also sends a signal to perhaps all other prosecutors considering going after a public official that, and I'm quoting here from the decision, just setting up a meeting, talking to another official, or organizing an event without more does not meet that definition of official act. So a governor or a member of Congress or a legislator who has had a lot of commerce with a particular constituent, taken gifts from that person, been having a very cozy relationship with them, but has only set up meetings for that person and never actually done something that was an official act, such as passing a bill or making a ruling of some kind, cannot be said to have been bribed or to have been corrupted. corrupted. That is going to set the bar a little higher for prosecutors and probably for investigative reporters as well.
Hmm. Well, Ron, we have about a minute here. There was another big ruling in many eyes. The court upheld the law that restricts people convicted of domestic violence from owning guns. There were two men, I believe, from Maine who'd said that they should have the ability to have a gun, even though they'd had domestic abuse charges. What was the vote here?
The vote here was 6-2, not a close vote. Mm-hmm. And here again, Justice Thomas was kind of the outlier, saying that he saw no problem with giving these gun rights back to these two individuals. Mm-hmm. The distinction here was that they said they shouldn't be affected by the federal gun ban because their domestic abuse had been reckless conduct, quote unquote, and not intentional conduct, pushing, shoving, a little slapping with their domestic partners. But it should not have been considered intentional abuse. The court disagreed with them 6-2, so they have lost their right to purchase guns or own guns.
NPR Senior Washington Editor and Correspondent Ron Elving, thanks as always.
Thank you, Robin.